Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
WrestleMania.
It's WrestleMania 23, and
Carly's grown up too much. Just too much.
Yeah, we ended it with a little bit of a cliffhanger saying, oh, here comes the best thing. This is literally the best thing. I miss these so much. There was a period where they started putting them in every WrestleMania.
Yes.
Where you just have, maybe after the second or third match, a little vignette with the stars of the past. And I don't know who was writing them, but for a little, like, 4 or 5 year period, they were the highlight of the year for me. Highlight. We have Eugene in Crime Time walking down the corridor.
Who's Crime Time then, you?
Well, you know how Eugene is a gimmick that at the time, sort of, it just seemed tone deaf.
Yeah.
And like, time as well has not been kind to it. Mm. Eugene, the little bearded, retarded boy.
Yes.
That's essentially what the gimmick was.
Yes.
Crime Time were two young African American men who they made a pair of criminals.
Okay, right.
Urban criminals with the big jeans and the baseball caps and the grills.
Did they go on to better things? Crime Time?
Did they? Not really. I think Shad Gaspard, who was a former...
what?
Yeah, Shad Gaspard.
And
JTG.
That's something out of Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah, he went on. I think he writes sort of comic books now.
Cool.
So, I mean, he's sort of a job that you would actually sort of go, I'd quite like to have
be
that
a wrestler
job.
And do a comic and then do some comics.
Yeah, I think he does kids' books and things like that. But he's also occasionally he pops up on news talking about stuff to do with wrestling. And he seems just like a really sort of like head screwed on bloke. So
I'm going to Google these.
Yeah, he seems to be doing nice. But they come out and they've basically arranged for the bearded retarded boy Eugene to have
a. I'm
using it in the sense of, imagine I'm Vince McMahon. he's a bearded retarded boy.
Why has he got no hair? Did he have his head shaved at some point?
Yes. Yeah, so actually, this is in the build up to the Battle of the Billionaires, which is a hair versus hair match between Vince and Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I think they shave Eugene's hair to kind of, you know, build up the thing. Because, of course, in the build up to this WrestleMania, they don't have Donald Trump very much.
No.
So even though they're fighting through proxies, they have to do stuff to sort of... I think Vince is probably going, look at this, Trump, this is your fault. This little bearded, retarded boy is having his head shaved while Eugene... begs for mercy. It was a strange gimmick. In they come, and Crime Time are basically arranged for the ECW dance troupe Extreme Exposé.
Is that... is that who they are?
It is,
the ECW dance troupe.
Yep, Extreme Exposé to do a sort of sexy dance for Eugene.
Mm.
The three women in this are Kelly Kelly, Layla L, and Brooke Tessmacher.
I've seen Kelly Kelly wrestle.
You have, yes. And Layla L and Kelly Kelly, they would both end up holding the sort of Divas Championship.
Right, okay.
So they would go on to do a little bit more. Kelly Kelly is absolutely a beautiful pip. she really is.
I don't like the when people chant Kelly Kelly or what they do. I don't like it. Sinister.
That does sound sinister.
Kelly Kelly.
Following down another road. But, oh, wouldn't you know it? wouldn't you know it, these crime timers,
yeah,
they've only gone and pulled a fast one, or have they? Yeah. It's not quite made clear.
No, they just kind of turn up, don't they? They've not really thought it through.
It's Mueller and Mae Young.
Mueller and Mae Young, dressed up like sluts.
Like extreme expose, and you can see their backs, and they're crepey. Mueller dies this year.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, in 2007. Yes. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know which side you're supposed to be on.
I think we're on one side.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this could possibly be her last WWE appearance.
Okay.
Not edifying.
It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
The past.
And just when you're sort of going, oh, that was nice, good. Right, that did go somewhere. Okay. I'm happy with this. Yeah, yeah. Suddenly in comes the Doctor of Style Slick.
It gets better and better. But I was more excited about this than any of the matches in this.
Hugely, hugely. Out comes Slick, and the best thing about this is he comes out and he's doing his jive, sort of jive soul bro routine.
And his head's a bit fat, so it took a little while before I knew who it was. I was like, that's Slick, isn't it? That's Slick. And he's like going, Slick, Slick. So yeah. I was like, cool, yeah, good.
They don't bring him back enough. They do not bring him back enough. The other thing about him is he is absolutely 100% reliable, is the real guy, Slick, because his dad was a wrestler,
right.
So he knows the business, and B, he is a pastor, so he is totally above board and legit. He's not going to embarrass you in any way.
No, right.
Get him on every show. I just want him to come out and go, tonight's show is going to be so good, you're going to dance and then dance. That would put me in the mood. I'd be happy every time. The best thing about that little bit of Slick doing that is I was like, oh, that is great. I watched right to the end on the network, and there's a little compilation video of the highlights right in the middle. Fucking Slick.
Slick,
just doing
dance.
His dance there, like, that is a highlight. Yes, you are right. Yes. You are right. The Undertaker doing his leap, and Slick. Yes, Slick. Yes, Slick. Out comes then Dusty Rhodes.
Come on.
Nice.
Money on the floor.
2007 was the year that Dusty Rhodes officially retired from wrestling.
Really?
Yep. He looks quite old here. Can't have a death party without the American Dream, he says.
Dusty Rhodes.
He begins doing a sort of weird, froggy, sort of, ooh, Murphy. He is amazing. And then they just sort of go, do you know what? Fuck it. There's no reason.
IRS.
Bring in the weirdos.
IRS. Sergeant Slaughter.
Gerald Sergeant Briscoe. Gerald Briscoe comes in and he starts going, ooh. Now, Gerald Briscoe is Native American.
Right.
Not that you'd know that, because in his career, he never played a Native American. It was just one of those things that if you were in the business, you knew. So out he comes doing that. And you would sort of think, even at the time, you sort
that's
of go,
a bit off.
Ooh, should have mentioned that. Suddenly, bang, there's Ricky Steamboat. Ricky Steamboat has been signed by WWE to be an agent backstage and things like that. He's been out of the business for donkey's years. We've talked about it on previous WrestleMe's, but he actually lost the name Ricky Steamboat in a divorce case with his wife, where she got the rights to the name Ricky Steamboat, so he couldn't use it. So his life is sort of turned around a bit. I can't remember if his rehiring was the thing that allowed him to get the name back. I can't remember.
Right.
But Steamboat has disappeared from wrestling. And suddenly, there he is back in the WWE. And he just comes out. He's the Dragon, one of the great technical wrestlers of all time. And he is sort of looking like I'm above it all. No, he isn't. He's in on it too. And Jimmy Hart's moving in, Mean Gene's in the background. And then Ron Simmons comes in. And Ron Simmons has become a perennial thing now, where he just comes in, sees the chaos going on, and goes, damn! And he waits for it. He's wearing a t-shirt that says damn, damn on it. I mean, if that doesn't sort of like spoil the gag. But by this point, it's just panto. It's what I want to see.
Yeah.
It's like the Queen's speech on Christmas Day. It's a tradition that, like, you know, unites everyone regardless of whether or not you think she's a big parasite. Now, I think that about these sections in WrestleMania. Regardless of whether you think they're crap and hokey and rubbish, I want to see the old people having good fun one last time. Yeah. And I will, at the end of it, I will stand up and I will salute.
And you'll be more qualified to do so than John Cena.
Yes, as qualified. I just thought it was I love those vignettes. It is so weird. And we've begun talking about this slightly sort of off air as well. But it's really funny about how the people from the 80s are so much more exciting to see, like, in 2007 than the people from 2007.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know why they were so much larger than life. I don't know why they seem like superheroes.
But that collection, it would just be like, it would be an episode of the, you know, the Saturday morning cartoon thing, wouldn't it? All those characters would be in there.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, it's just, it's sort of magic. It's a little bit like the Hall of Fame when you see it a bit later on. You know, it's just, those are the people who you sort of go, oh yeah, you really knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
Everyone else is Mr. Kennedy. It's really unfair to everyone else who's really good in this. Talking of people you'd sort of rather forget, the match is US champion Chris Benoit versus MVP, Montel Vivacious Porter. Vivacious Porter?
Vontavious.
Vontavious. Vontavious. Jesus Christ. Three
Either way,
goes.
It's not his fucking name.
It isn't. No.
They used it. They tried to find. I mean, just go for Virgin or Virgil or something.
Virgin?
Montel Virgin Porter. I don't know. Kind of sounds like a craft ale, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does. But just like, why have you got to
be like the coolest, hottest sports star in the world? and your name is
Virgin.
Virgin.
Yeah, that's what makes you cooler. That you can kind of get through it.
It's like Virgin Coke.
Exactly.
Cool like Virgin Coke.
The Pammy bottle.
I mean, MVP suffers a little bit from that Mr. Kennedy syndrome, which is he comes along at a period where no one's particularly interested in wrestling. But God, watching him back, he's really, really good. He's another guy they haven't really brought back in any meaningful way. Mm. You see, he was still young enough until relatively recently. He's just a bit older now. Mm. I'm sure he has no interest in coming back, particularly now, although he's recently done some stuff for like Ring of Honor and things like that.
He's like a jiu-jitsu, like quite recently he won like a jiu-jitsu competition.
Did he?
Yeah.
He did a TED talk as well recently.
Yeah, now, he sounds really interesting.
He does. And it seems really strange that when you have someone who is all of those things, that WWE are like, we can see no sort of like commercial, interest in you.
Who's been your biggest IPs? Someone who can, I don't know, have got outside interest. They can speak Chinese.
Yeah.
You know, like, or they're a bit interesting, like CM Punk. All of these massive IPs have come about because they have a little bit more going for them. You know, massive. They're not just the usual.
And he has a great story, which is that he starts off as a young man, gets involved with a graffiti gang, he says, who become a street gang. He gets put in sort of juvie for a robbery. And then at the age of 16, he and two friends are charged with armed robbery and kidnapping. And he gets an 18 and a half year prison sentence as a very, very young man. He serves 9 and a half in prison. It's an amazing sort of like, again, you sort of go the nous of these 16-year-olds. So in January 1990, MVP, and he's not called MVP at this point.
No.
I believe he's called Alvin Banks, although he later changes his name in prison when he converts to Islam.
Oh, yeah. Alvin Antonio Burke Jr., and he changed to Hassan Hamin Assad.
Yeah. He said he converted to Islam, but he often talks about how he is an atheist. Which, you do you. And in January 1990, MVP and two older teenagers boarded a cruise ship in the Port Everglades, which I presume is Florida. They walked on as ordinary passengers, but inside their bags they had ski masks and gloves. One of the accomplices had already hidden two pump-action shotguns and a handgun in the air conditioning room a week before on the ship. So they waited until the early morning when the employees in the ship's casino were counting out the night's earnings, and they then barged in on them with those guns. They managed to get $82,000, and when the boat docked, they just walked off with the money.
So, like under siege.
Well, MVP says it was some Ocean's 11 type shit.
I don't recall Ocean's 11 getting on a ferry and threatening to shoot
a
someone.
16-year-old with a handgun. Yeah. But there is something funny about that as well, which is it was some Ocean's 11 type shit. It is impossible not to do stuff like that. And, you know, obviously he gets a long prison sentence for it. It's impossible not to do it and just go, that was pretty fucking cool. I mean, that was audacious. We got off the boat. He pled guilty and got, so he served 9 and a half years. While he was in prison, he had a corrections officer who was a part-time wrestler at the weekend.
Right.
He was a guy called Daryl Davis, and he wrestled as Primetime Daryl D. So he just sort of wrestled at local flea markets. He's not a name wrestler. And he basically had, I think as a child, MVP had been to some wrestling with his mum and really enjoyed it. And so he began talking to this guy, and this guy began bringing in pay-per-views, technically illegal, and I think New Japan tapes to MVP in prison. And he just watched it and thought, well, when I get out, I'm going to, this is what I want to do. And when he came out, the prison officer, who's called Primetime Daryl D, ended up training MVP.
This is like a film.
It really is, isn't it? Again,
Billy Elliot.
Well, no interest in this guy's backstory. but I did like the fact that there's a little line where MVP was talking about this, and he said, Daryl trained me for free. I never paid a penny. And I sort of thought, still sort of a bit of a grift, isn't it? Sort of like going, and you know what the other thing is? Didn't pay a thing for it, mate. Didn't pay a thing.
It was all performed at gunpoint.
Now, he did do a talk this year, a TED talk, right, which was called When Do I Stop Being a Criminal? So he feels like very much that armed robbery thing. I've seen him on some documentaries recently
just talking about it.
It is fascinating. It is fascinating. The other thing that he carries around with him is tattoos. And I have a vague memory of we went to a London WWE event. And I think that was the first time I probably sort of went, I sort of know a little bit about this. And one of the things that we did was we met MVP.
Yes, up in the, was there some kind of VIP kind of media section?
I felt really bad for him because what it was they sort of bring you in and there's us and a load of people from radio around London and they brought their kids and
no
their
one
nephews,
gave a flying shit.
And he has to come out and sort of go, how's it going? How are you? How are you? And you're just sort of there going, yeah, pretty good. So you're a big boy. It's all that sort of thing. You know, like local radio stuff. Yeah. Oh, nice togs. Where'd you get them? Big old bloke's house.
Who's going to win tonight? Because obviously it's fuck off.
So
in a gang.
You motherfucker. I will kill you. That's just me saying it. But he came out wearing a suit. And I'd already told you that he wore a one piece to sort of cover
his gang
himself.
Tattoos.
It also made him very, very different. But yeah, he had gang tattoos.
Right.
So I looked into this and he's talked a number of times about all the tattoos he's got. So he's got a portrait of Malcolm X on his chest, the sarcophagus of King Tut on his upper bicep.
Ooh.
He's got the word Monte Cristo across the front. The best revenge is living well underneath that. An eye of Horus on the back of his left arm. And he's then got all of these gang tattoos he had done as a teenager. He did an article on WWE.com called Ink from the Clink. It starts, even an egoist like Montel Vontavious Porter, who will capitalize on any opportunity to rave about himself or what he does, won't allow WWE.com to photograph every tattoo he's gotten. He said, I won't show them to you, but the first tattoos I got were gang related.
Ooh.
So it's a funny thing that I think, even when you see it in that WWE thing, I think he's just like, they're precious to me.
Right, okay,
that's the man I was and look how far I've come.
Maybe they're just not very good.
They're Rosebud, aren't they? Or maybe they are. Maybe they are.
They're just like, I'm in a gang.
It's Tweety Pie with big tits.
It's an erotic Simpsons drawing where Lisa's not playing that saxophone. She's playing her brother, Bart Simpson, and going, I'm in a gang. Woo!
Yeah. I will happily ask everyone to just tweet the worst tattoos on Twitter. That's the sort of thing where I will go infrequently and I will type world's worst tattoos.
Oh, there are.
But then it will be one of those annoying ones where you have to click through each individual image.
Yeah,
I want to see them all in one place.
There's shit. Oh, God, shit tattoos. I'll show you after the show, but there's an excellent Instagram page that is just
magic.
But there's a lot of very detailed erotic kind of like dicks coming out of people's faces, like kind of drawings. Like some of them are just so needlessly erotic.
I didn't expect the last word of that would be erotic. Needlessly puerile. So they're needlessly delightful.
There's a time or a place.
Needlessly mouthwatering. he does actually come out here and he does look like a huge star. They gave him this sort of very, very different entrance where he had a sort of like a sort of entrance way solely for himself that would sort of spin out. And on this, he just looks like a big star. This match with Benoit is, I think, obviously, they would put in the slightly greener people with Benoit. And this was the role they were transitioning him to. He was going to be off to ECW within a couple of months of this WrestleMania. And they wanted to give the greener people the benefit of working with people like Benoit, who would be able to sort of really guide them and turn them into the superstars of the future.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you can have a particularly bad match with Chris Benoit, but Jesus Christ, I thought MVP was so good in this. This was a really different feeling match to anything else that went on, which is a nice thing where you get WrestleMania where all the matches are serious, but they feel slightly different. So this felt more like a Japanese match. And it was just two people who you could really see they were just trying to win. It was like a proper old-fashioned wrestling match. And I really, really enjoyed it. It really made me sort of go, maybe I'm sort of looking forward to seeing MVP again.
Yeah.
Which is something when he was around, I was like,
you never really said.
God, it's MVP. Yeah, and his gang tattoos of Jessica Rabbit's foaming gash. He's also released a number of hip-hop songs.
Nice.
From 2011 onwards, Holler to the World, featuring Dwayne Sweezy. And there's also, that music video has cameos from Carlito and Hernandez, who was a TNA star.
Why have we not got that music up? Wow.
Yep. He also released his second song 2 years later, entitled Tokyo.
Oh.
And in 2014, he released his third single, retitled Return of the Ronin.
Okay, right.
You can see between Holler to the World and then Tokyo and Return of the Ronin, someone's been listening to Abroad in Japan.
As long as he doesn't vote for it, it's fine.
And Benoit in this match is, I mean, he is just as intense. Mm. At a level that no one else was. And with hindsight, you realise that...
Wrestling
that
has consumed his life. It's his mistress, says the commentary team at one point.
Does he? There's also a really horrible bit, which is, over time, everything that Benoit said, it seems to be weighted to be hinting darkly at the future. So on this opening credits, the one line they give him, he sort of goes, I've dedicated my life. And that's the line he gets to do. And whenever you hear Benoit talking in the build-up to this, it's just bad luck. They're always, he's
in
always...
In the past tense sort of thing.
Well, he's always sort of talking about, you know, the blood, you know, I do this till I die. It's just every single one is just like, you look back and go, how did this happen every time? Every time he opened his mouth, we were making him say something which seemed to directly relate to what would ultimately happen. We've really fucked this.
Oh, dear.
And then we get Donald Trump and his first segment where he is complaining about his sandwich. This is a big ad-libbing thing where
he's
he refused
rubbish.
To act scared of the boogeyman.
Yeah. It just didn't make any sense. I mean, the boogeyman styled it out.
Yep.
He kept on going at it.
He did his thing.
Yeah, Boogeyman sort of went, I'll do it.
There is something horrible about like having to deal with billionaires. Right? And I say this having...
have so much.
I have met one.
Have you met one?
Yeah, I have met one.
What were they like? No names.
Do you know what they are? They were nice, but you were super aware the entire time that you were talking to a billionaire.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking, oh, they could just have me killed.
I'm sort of thinking, like, who's the most rich person? And remember the bloke who's, you know, the bloke who's in, it's a TV show about science geeks.
Big Bang Theory. Yeah.
Young Sheldon, like the grown-up Sheldon.
Yeah.
Sheldon. And he and he was doing a terrible film with Rihanna, like a CGI sort of thing. Uh-huh. He was the voice. And I was interviewing him and I was thinking, you get like $5 million per episode
Mental.
For your piece of shit
Mental.
TV show.
I undoubtedly there'll be people who listen to this podcast who watch Big Bang Theory and enjoy it.
I'd like them to stop listening to
Please
the
do stop listening to this. This is no longer for you.
The thing that annoys me is they seem to conflate computer geeks and people knowing about science. And then some days they'll go to like Renaissance Fair and he'll suddenly be an expert on history and socio-political history. And I'm like, no, you can't be a geek about everything.
All geeks.
It's just so anti-knowledge.
All geeks are geeky about everything. That's the way it is.
Yeah, they know everything, don't
Not
they?
Not like real men who are into Formula One.
NASCAR.
I mean, imagine, oh, I'm into Tudor history. Let's do a sitcom about this guy. Really?
Really annoys me.
Yeah, it won't be funny. Good. There we are.
But in summary, Donald Trump is a rubbish.
Yeah, he sits there. She's not got any food and she's sitting there like a lump.
Lump.
He says about Miss USA.
Suffering
who looks.
Respect.
I mean, she just humiliated in live TV. Mm. I always think with these people who are in like Miss World and stuff, they must go, well, yeah, but I mean, there's more to me than that and everything. And it's just when you're put in those scenarios where you're sitting on that sofa with Donald Trump and the boogeyman shouting behind and Donald Trump is calling you a lump, you must just go, this is absolutely a toxic environment. That everyone said to me, this is what it might be like. Yeah. And somehow I've allowed it to happen. I'm just sitting here. And rather than taking my shoe off and putting it through this fucker's eye.
You're really into that image, aren't you?
And then little boogeyman comes out as well. And Trump just stares at him, which makes everything seem ridiculous and absurd. You know,
What?
So right at the end, there's a little person who comes out who is Little Boogeyman.
I thought I was just a boogeyman.
No. The second one is a
what? I thought that was Boogeyman.
Performer.
I just thought he was kind of kneeling.
No.
Like Gary Oldman in the film.
No. So the sort of joke, I presume the joke would be that Boogeyman came out and Trump should have been scared.
Right.
And then...
He's scared
then
for the
I presume
spawn.
He should have said to Miss USA, oh, I wasn't scared of that guy. I'm not scared of him at all.
Yeah.
And then he'd turn around and there'd be Little Boogeyman and he'd go, ah! That is a basic sketch.
Yeah.
That's a basic sketch.
Instead, he goes,
I want a sandwich.
Ah, my sandwich is here. And then he tries to eat the little boogeyman.
Come back, like you worms. Lump. Watch me eat a human being, he says. Then we get the Hall of Fame.
Yay. More of this, please.
The Wild Samoans, Afa and Sika, who are the very famous Samoan dynasty. Afa is the dad of the Tonga Kid and Samu, who were very big in the late 80s.
Okay.
And Sika is the dad of Rosie. More importantly, they are the uncles of Umaga, Rikishi, The Rock, and the great uncles of the current superstars, the Usos.
When they come out and do the thing, one of them is really into doing the face and the other one isn't.
That's sweet. They also, when they were at WrestleMania, there was a year where Roman Reigns was due to beat Brock Lesnar. And it was changed at the last minute so that Seth Rollins would cash in his Money in the Bank during the match.
Right.
And the Samoans had turned up to see Roman Reigns win, and it had been changed, I think, pretty much on the day.
Right.
And they were so furious.
Oh, that no.
They were properly, and this is probably 10 years after we see them coming out here.
Yeah.
But the image of those two just going absolutely incandescent, trying to beat up everybody when they must have been about 75. I mean, God bless old wrestlers.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You also get the Sheik, who is represented by his wife. This is not the Iron Sheik. This is the original fire-throwing Sheik. Nick Bockwinkel.
Who's Nick Bockwinkel?
So Nick Bockwinkel, we
why
mentioned,
does he have such a wonderful
we mentioned
name?
In the fake Prince and Bob Mould album the Coco Beware episode of Wrestle Me Mass, and that was entitled Bockwinkel.
Right.
And Nick Bockwinkel was a Bobby Heenan used to manage him, but he was a perennial AWA world champion in the sort of Minneapolis AWA, and he was seen as being slightly lacking in charisma, but in the ring he was quite brilliant. And he was one of those guys that people like Ric Flair were just like, wonderful wrestling him. Everyone loved wrestling Nick Bockwinkel.
Yeah.
And so he was a sort of very well-respected wrestler.
Right.
Who thoroughly deserves to be in all the Hall of Fames.
I should really have remembered his name if we did it just before Christmas. Sorry.
Don't worry about it. I mean, the name Bockwinkel, the more times
festive.
You can say it.
Very festive.
It's lovely. Oh, Mr. Fuji comes
yes,
out.
Yes, Banzai, he shouts.
Yeah, he shaved his tash for the first time as well. And who else is in? Jim Ross, Mr. Perfect. Jerry Lawler.
Yes, Jerry Lawler. He name checks Priceline.com, dating this immediately. And Viagra.
Doesn't it? And Viagra.
A little joke about Viagra. William Shatner gives him the...
Yeah. I think they'd done something on Raw together. Raw is War in 1994. But yeah, it was not the right choice. and then Dusty Rhodes. So you get to see the debut of Cody Rhodes, who sort of inducted his father along with Goldust. And then it's a nice little bit where Dusty Rhodes ends his Hall of Fame thing. He goes, tonight, I've won the night with the King and Queen. And so I was like, hey, Pork and Beans in the Hall of Fame.
Today, somebody sent me the poem, not poem, like a speech that one of the generals gave to the troops just before they went into Iraq, basically saying, and it's this beautiful kind of thing. It was such a moving speech that Barack Obama had it framed, put it in the Oval Office. I imagine it's not there anymore, thanks to the aforementioned Donald Trump. But it just talks about, respect the country that you're in, the civilians that will, undoubtedly lose their lives. So they didn't expect them, they didn't go to work today thinking they were going to lose their lives. And, they didn't get dressed this morning thinking that was going to be the last day on the planet. And it's this beautiful speech. And I was just like, oh, bloody hell, I'm a little bit tired. And this is just so emotional. And this got me as well. I was like,
I've in my office, I have a mashup of the two. And it just says, people get up this morning and the one thing that they don't know that they're going to come home for at dinner at night is pork and beans.
Pork and beans.
Pork and beans.
Pork and beans.
And it says underneath, so come on, make them pork and beans. I think it's made by a pork and beans manufacturer. Which, if there is one out there, I would very much like to work for. Nice to see when they come out as well, Jerry Lawler finally in a lineup. That's overdue.
Good.
And well done, Mr. Fuji, for not fucking up sitting in a wheelchair. That was absolutely textbook by the Fuge. And then we get match number 5. The Undertaker versus Batista. The most surprising match.
Why is it the most surprising match?
I think because on paper, certainly when this came out, you were like, oh, two big guys. Yeah, okay. Kane and Carly.
Yeah.
So we're going to get that. And what no one had actually really sort of taken into account was that both of these men were incredibly pissed off that they weren't given the main event.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh.
So, Batista has talked about this again and again and again, because this, for him, I think, was a very key moment. So, he said on the Jim Ross podcast, he said that his match with Undertaker should have been the main event. He was the world champion. Undertaker was a huge star.
Yeah.
The Cena versus Shawn Michaels one, as he said, it wasn't going to end with a title change. Well, what would be better than ending WrestleMania with a big title change at The Undertaker, who is a huge star?
The streak is on.
Yeah, exactly that. So he said, I was really upset we weren't the main event. I just felt like we should have been. We deserved to be. I know with the exchange of title and everything, it was just more significant a match. And I also just felt like Take, he doesn't call him Taker.
Oh, nice.
That's a little inside term, isn't it?
I'm going to kick on Take.
So I just felt like Take deserved that to be the main event and it should have gone on last. So I had a chip on my shoulder. I felt we got robbed of that top spot. We should have had it. I think we had the match of the night. I believe personally, we stole the show. I'll just kind of leave it at that. Nice bit at the end where you're sort of going, I mean, I'm the best. We had the best. We were absolutely the best. I won't say anymore. You don't need to. This is a absolute a sodding banger.
Yeah.
It's really good. I know you love Dave Batista.
I do.
He's your personal chum.
I just think he's lovely. I want to be his friend. I like he does the Ultimate Warrior rope shaking at one point. I'm like, yes! Yes! Come on!
It's one of those things but Dave Batista is very good at this. He defies a lot of your expectations. And he defied a lot of people's expectations by becoming a huge star. He defied a lot of people's expectations by becoming the bigger star than Randy Orton, who was the one who was groomed.
Right.
You know, he defies it in this match. He defies everyone when he was like, I'm leaving wrestling to become a movie star. You know, what? Like the fucking Rock, mate. Yes, exactly like the fucking Rock. I'm in Blade Runner, I'm in Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, and I'm in a James Bond film. You know, he just keeps on defying expectations. I think as well, like even on Twitter, when you see the sort of stuff that he tweets about and how right on he is and how like intelligent and funny and everything, he just defies expectations. I think he's just an amazing performer. At the time, people thought he was good. When he did matches like this, people were like, Jesus Christ, he could be a Hall of Fame sort of career. And I still think he's so underrated. You see stuff like this, and if he was around today, he would be absolutely a monster.
Mm.
A monster talent. He started late as well. He was 30 when he started wrestling, you know, and he had such a short window. And to be as good as he is in this, I mean, he's just, it blew my mind how good this was. I actually watched this and I felt a bit sad that A, he doesn't have much, you know, many matches because his career in the grand scheme of things is short. But I was like...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym... for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.